Hey guys, welcome to the Papist Show.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Patrick.
And we're going to talk about baptism today. Last episode in our video on just overall what is a sacrament, we mentioned that there are several classifications of what different types of sacraments, if I can get my words straight.
Sacraments of initiation today. And stuff?
Yep. Got sacraments of initiation. What were the other ones? I can't even remember.
Sacraments of at communion. Services at communion.
Yeah,
that's
right. That's what that was.
I don't remember what they all the names were. We'd have to go back.
Yeah, we're bad at remembering things. But
initiation is the first ones that we're going to go through.
Yep, and initiation contains baptism and confirmation, so we're going to talk about baptism right now.
All right, here we go.
What's the point of baptism, even?
The whole point of baptism is to save our souls from original sin.
That's true. That's true. I mean,
that is a basic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Telling of it.
Most definitions with Pat.
Thank you.
What is baptism? Baptism is good. That's what baptism is.
Not baptism is bad. Anyway.
Exactly.
So basically, what is baptism?
Just knock the mics around.
Yeah, just
knock.
Like throw everything everywhere. We've had a rough day.
It has been a long day. But we're going to talk about baptism, I swear.
Yes, here we go. What is it? What is baptism? Baptism is the whole, is basically the basis of the whole Christian life.
Well, it's the whole introduction of the Christian life. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the Eucharist is everything that the Christian life revolves around.
Yes.
If not all life
on
Earth.
The Eucharist and sacraments, as we mentioned before.
But in terms of baptism, it With all of the sacraments, they all offer a rite of initiation. All of them, not just the sacraments of initiation, but they're all a something that someone goes through, like a coming of age. You know, you get baptized, you get confirmed, you go to your first communion,
mm-hmm.
all of that sort of things, all the way until you die.
There are different paths you can take in the sacraments.
Absolutely, yeah. And with baptism, it's just one more step
opening.
On the road.
It's
the first step in the book. It's the first chapter.
It's the opening of the gates.
Yep.
So, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So, where does baptism really come from? Then we have
the etymology
coming
from
this.
Yep. Because that's
what do we got here, Brendan?
Well, that one is from Greek. As long as I'm pronouncing this right, baptizen. Don't ask me how to spell that in Greek. I don't know. Which means to literally plunge or immerse.
Like the Greeks do.
In this very funny way here. So freaking weird. Greeks are weird. Pat, as our resident Greek, can you tell us what just happened?
I don't live in Greece, so I have no idea.
All right, fair enough. I don't even know if we know if that's Greek or Russian.
It's Greek Orthodox.
It's Orthodox. That's all we know. That baby's face, though. Anyway, but there is really a really interesting thing. The reason there's a really interesting topic in why use water, because that's the main.
Yeah.
There are other matters in the sacrament of baptism. You know,
yeah,
you have various oils, and you have the water. I can't remember any of the others off the top of my head.
There's candles and stuff too.
Yep. But water is the main one. You know, in the baptism of our Lord by St. John the Baptist. You know, water first thing.
Yes. Why water though?
Well. It's the basis of life. I mean, you need water to live. You
mm-hmm.
need plants need water to survive. Just about anything on. Yeah, water.
Water
is just,
signifies life.
Exactly. Exactly. Basically. There's such a thing like a aqua vitae, which is water of life. In Latin.
I remember my Latin.
You remember your Latin. Good job, Pat. Very good. So. But then why does that make that necessary for baptism then? I mean, clearly we can see that water is very important, but why is that important in baptism? Yeah, I think
that's an interesting thing to
think. I think that's because Baptism is shedding your old self. You're shedding. Yeah. You're shedding your. You're shedding the stain of original sin.
Yes.
And, you know, as a child, you're shedding the stain of original sin. If you get baptized as an adult, you're shedding all stain, all stains of sin. and you're putting on a new life. You're starting a new life in Christ. Really, that's what it does, and that's why water is so necessary for it.
Another good reason for why we use water, Christ was baptized in a river. He used water. It's always water's always been used in Jewish baptism as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's been for here for thousands of years.
And that's because it's
and because
the,
of the signification
it's
that
because
you just
of the
showed,
significance
that you just
of
said.
It. You know, even before the start of the main Jewish rite during Moses' time, before that, water even symbolized a bringing of a new life in biblical and historical sense.
Yeah,
Noah's flood.
Noah's flood.
I was like, okay, we're gonna shed, the earth is now going to shed all of this on all of the sinful
kill everybody.
Great way to put it, Pat. But yes,
that's
we're gonna do that.
What happened? You killed
we're
everybody.
We're gonna do that.
All the bad guys.
And we're gonna start new life with Noah.
Yes.
And what's her face? His wife.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Are we supposed
I
to?
I think
do
I got an
moment?
F in that class.
I really hope you didn't.
You hope I did?
I hope you didn't.
I mean, yeah, it's one thing to hope, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean that's actually an example that was used in the Catechism as to the significance of water in baptism. They used the example of Noah's Ark.
Yes, they did.
now, what's really interesting is. Is the fact that there are actually exorcisms in a baptism. Not many people who aren't Catholic know that. You know, I don't know how many of you viewers out there have been to a baptism before, but there's exorcism. They literally say like I exorcise.
And there could be one or more exorcisms.
Several,
Doesn't just have to be one.
Mm-hmm.
As far I don't know exactly what it all depends on though.
True.
There's a lot more reading to do on that.
I'm not a liturgical expert. For that, I'd recommend watching another podcast, The Liturgy Guys. Great podcast, by the way. They're based out of Mundelein Seminary. It's just shout out for them.
Shout out for them, apparently.
Yeah.
Good job, Brennan.
Yeah, but I mean that just goes along with the fact that there are exorcisms in baptism. Just goes along with the fact that you're shedding your old life and you're shedding all sin. To become part of Christ's life.
Yep.
and I believe that's the other reason why traditionally you're supposed to wear, the people getting baptized are supposed to wear white.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because white is the symbol of purity.
Mm-hmm.
Not much else to say about that. You got anything to add, Pat?
Not on that. That was actually a pretty good basic encompassment of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to talk about who can receive baptism.
Ah, yes.
That's important. Once you've received baptism, you cannot receive it ever again. Once you have legitimately received baptism, as long as it's done in the proper form.
And the reason is because it leaves an indelible mark on the soul. That's in the words of the catechism, an indelible mark on the soul. The imprint of the Holy Spirit and the imprint of God and sanctifying grace on your soul. It's like trying to put white out over that. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. Only
no point to it.
Basically, only people who have not been baptized before can receive baptism. That is it.
Yep, plain and simple.
Yep.
I mean, like I said, not much you can say to expand on that. let's see.
Well, and there are some different types of baptism.
That's true, yeah.
So,
and that's actually really, really interesting. Because actually, out of all the sacraments, baptism is the only one that can be gained in more than one way. Even though there's really only one certain way of becoming baptized. Obviously, to have someone sprinkle water on your head and the sign of the cross and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is the most absolute way to be assured of baptism.
Mm-hmm.
But there are those other forms, and which were those?
The baptism of desire and baptism of blood. And basically these just mean if you have no way of becoming baptized, but you do desire to, and it's legitimate,
mm-hmm.
Assuming that there's a possibility, you know, of you be dying, it's also baptism of blood ties into it as well. If you die before you are able to get baptized, mm-hmm. you are baptized by the baptism of desire or blood.
Wasn't there also ones like baptism by fire or something like that? Was that listed in the catechism, or I cannot remember?
Well, what would that sounds like it would entail something having to do similar with baptism to baptism of blood. Yeah. So martyrdom, dying before you can, or dying, trying to become baptized.
And again, all of those are still limited to those who have no ways to gain the full sacrament of baptism.
Yes, if you have then technically your fault.
For example, if there is a child who is being birthed and they are close to death upon being birthed, you know, the doctor can perform a baptism, and that is valid.
Either that, or if the baby dies beforehand, but the parents had a desire for that child to be baptized, it is a baptism of desire.
It is baptism by desire.
And
yep.
That child goes to heaven.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of leeway in that, because it is a very all-encompassing sacrament, you know, because mm-hmm. actually, according to the Catholic faith, you don't have to just be baptized within the church. If you are, for example, in some Protestant sects, not all of them, some of them are a little bit too out there that it doesn't count. But let's say you're an Anglican or a Lutheran, and somebody baptizes you, as long as there is the water, and say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost," you are baptized.
Yes, and you don't have to be rebaptized in the Catholic Church if you become Catholic.
There's a nice bit in the Creed. I believe in one baptism for the remission of sins. There's only one baptism.
Yes.
So all you have to do is have that proper form, and you're good. Which brings up an interesting point: form and matter.
Yes.
Because those are.
What are the forms?
Like before we even get into any other sacraments, all the sacraments have to have a specific form and matter, and that is just a bit. It's a more complex way of saying they need to be done properly. You know, the form is the correct person doing it, the correct words said,
yes.
The correct ceremonies being used, whereas the matter is the correct material, the correct all of the other correct
oil,
stuff.
All those things that are used within the baptism.
The physical things. The matter is the physical things that need to be there in order for a proper sacrament to be done.
Yes.
We didn't mention this. Why oil though?
Oh.
In baptism we there is not only water but also oil.
Yes.
So that's also really interesting.
Brendan, I don't exactly remember.
Think back historically. I think we should remember stories of the Jewish kings. Or other various things, but what do you do with an oil? You anoint someone.
Well, yes, but you anoint them. Is that it? Is that what I haven't read that part of the baptism?
Okay, you're anointing them. the way let's say with the example of David, you know, King David.
Mm-hmm.
He was anointed with oil by a priest, and it was like, you will become king. Similar thing, I'm sure, similar thing is in baptism, where you are anointed with oil as you are becoming, a chosen one of Christ.
Ah.
You're being anointed into that fold, into the Christian fold.
I see it.
You're becoming one of the few, because Christianity is an exclusive thing. Not everyone's a Christian. anyone can become a Christian, but not everyone's a Christian.
Yeah, and there's also the people who, you know, are Christian, but
that's
don't
another
follow
topic.
Of course it is, but
that's for another
not
video.
Not everyone follows along with that. I guess it's the same with Catholicism. Mm. You're either fully Catholic and believe all the teachings, or you're not really Catholic.
So there's another interesting topic. I've been saying the word interesting
yes.
a lot. We should have a counter on the bottom as to how many times I've said the word interesting.
We'll see. We'll try.
We'll work on our editing skills and see if that is possible.
Now, is this for baptism of adults and baptism of infants?
How did you know? Maybe it's because we're reading the same notes.
Yes. Anyway, so there are the two different, of course, ways of people you can baptize, of course, infants and adults.
The only stipulation as to who can receive the sacrament of baptism is someone who hasn't been baptized yet.
Yes.
It doesn't say that they have to be an infant, and it doesn't say that they have to be an adult.
Now, adults, pretty straightforward. You go through the baptismal celebration, and as long as they are legitimately prepared and desire to be baptized and become a part of the Catholic Church and follow its teachings, they will be baptized and they're good to go,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
And that being prepared part, that's something unique to adult baptism.
Yes.
And there's a good reason for that. Because in order for a baptism to be valid, the person getting baptized has to desire, or in the case of an infant, their parents have to desire for them to become a Christian,
yes.
for them to be baptized. So with an adult, if you desire to be baptized and you've been taught something completely different than what Christianity is, you're desiring something that is false. So you need to be properly there's a proper introduction to Christianity.
Yes.
That you need to go through before being baptized as an adult.
Now on infant baptism, there are some people out there that say that it's completely insane and it's false doctrine. Even Catholics, and the Catholics have left the church, such as this guy right here.
Or infant baptism. You know, they practice this and they teach that, you know, you can be baptized as a baby. You know, as a former Catholic, I was baptized as a baby. And this is just a false doctrine. You know, I didn't know Jesus when I was a baby. You know, They preach that you can just dunk a baby in water and you know, suddenly they're following Jesus.
So that was obviously quite wrong.
Yeah, and I do hope that he does come back to the church, but there are various reasons why someone should be baptized
as an infant. Yeah.
You know, common sense ones, actually.
I want to mention something that's not you just plunge a baby in the water and boom, he believes. That would be awesome, but
you still have to be catechized even when you're a Christian.
Your job as a parent is you get your child baptized, and you have to teach him in the ways of the church. You don't just baptize him and boom, he's free. He knows everything that God wants him to know. It's not how it works.
No, and as for the practical reason as to why you should baptize your infants and not wait until they're like 20 or so, is well, what if that child dies?
Yeah,
because
the teaching and how everything has been taught and learned and up to this point in the church, as I believe it was said by God also, probably was. I don't remember if it was said while he was here. But basically that if you're not baptized, you cannot be saved. This is said by many great people in the church and back in the past. It says unless you are baptized in the church, you cannot be saved.
Extra ecclesiam nulla salus.
Yes.
Outside the church, there is no salvation.
Yes.
Now, that still is with exception to those who receive baptism by desire or baptism by blood.
Yes, yes.
Exception. Rare exception, I would presume. I think. I'm not an expert.
Well, you never know. But
in another term, though, he talks about like he didn't know Jesus when he was baptized, presuming that he means that he wasn't fully baptized then,
or
like,
desiring to be baptized, that type of thing,
something like that.
Yeah.
Well, to be a Christian, really, you can't argue that you didn't know Christ, even if you're a child, just because you didn't literally comprehend him in the way that you do now, doesn't mean you didn't know him. One of the most fundamental things that you learn in any good religion class is that all humans have the law of God written on their heart. All humans have God in them, literally, in the soul.
Yes,
that He gave you. So, any baby in the womb is going to have God in them.
Mm-hmm. Now, and why is it another reason for it
to be? And you don't need to have this vast Thomist understanding of God to be able to be a Christian.
You don't have to be
a philosopher to be a Christian.
No, you don't.
You know,
as long as you know what's right and wrong. Doesn't even have to be, as you said, philosophically.
Now, granted, just because you don't
have to, doesn't mean you shouldn't. Exactly. It's always good to learn more.
Exactly. You can become a Christian without fully comprehending every single thing which every church father has written, or every saint has written, or is written in the Bible. But it's still good to learn. It's part of a full catechesis.
Yes, it is. Now, also another really good reason for getting your infant baptized, also, as we've said, original sin. It wipes away original sin.
Exactly.
Without getting rid of original sin, you cannot make it to heaven.
Just a little bit of a guilt trip. How bad of a parent would you be if you didn't baptize your child and they died?
Well, other than that...
That was a light road, wasn't it?
That was kind of mean. But...
I may or may not be sorry.
Okay. It's between you and God, not me.
Yep.
Anyway, but it wipes away original sin, which is necessary to get into heaven. See, and that does lead into another conversation, which we'll have in another episode, short episode, hopefully coming up here pretty soon, on limbo.
Ooh.
Because there's a lot of... teaching?
There's no clear doctrine on it.
Yeah, on what happens to a child who is not baptized and dies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, you know, separation in the church on this issue. We'll go a little bit in depth on that and have our own little conversation on that. We did do that once before. Not when anyone saw, of course. But
yeah, it's deleted now.
That's all right. But that's a topic that we'll get into, and it's very important when it comes to original sin and baptism.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think that just about wraps it up here.
Yeah.
You know, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you think that we left something out, shout at us in the comments below.
Let us know, and we'll try and fix it.
Just try to be intelligent when you're doing it. Don't
Please.
Be like a regular YouTube commenter, because then you kind of are stupid.
I don't know if all YouTube commenters are stupid, but...
Many are.
Okay.
Most that I've seen are. But on the flip side, that guy that we showed you, please pray for him.
Yes.
So that he can come back to the church.
That would be a nice thing.
Yep. And pray for that baby who is being baptized in a really weird Greek Orthodox way. Is he okay? I want to know,
Let's show that again. That was great.
That was weird.
It was funny, though.
That was really weird. Anyway, guys, make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube channel and press that bell notification button so that you can find out whenever we upload.
Yes. Like our Facebook page.
Like it a lot.
All right.
That almost was really
weird.
You
can also follow us on CastBox and take us on the go.
Follow our Instagram page.
And Instagram. It's all at the Papists.
Yep.
Show.
We'll have it all linked in the description below. You can watch our other videos here.
It'll be somewhere on the screen, Brandon. Don't worry about it. We're not that good yet.
No, we're not.
Point.
Anyway.
This has been the Papist Show.
Till next time.